Hello, and welcome to Fuzzy Turkey Sandwich, Episode 2. I am your host this time, D.W. Dunphy. Today, we're going to have a very long discussion about the career, or at least the musical side, of Phil Harris. Now, you might not recognize the name. I'm sure at this point a lot of people don't. But you do recognize the cartoon bear that he played in a Disney movie. And you'll learn more about that again in a moment. We're also going to discuss, briefly, why it's important to remember the people who actually provided voices for these cartoons in the first place. These actors and musicians have legacies as well, but these legacies are being slowly destroyed by reboots and remakes. I'll just give a brief defense of why that shouldn't be and why the both of them can peacefully coexist in our media landscape and our diet. So that's all coming up in Episode 2 of Fuzzy Turkey Sandwich when we talk about Phil Harris. But first, we have this.
When I sip that cup of life with my fingers curled, I don't worry what road to take.
Chapter 1, Dogs Playing Poker.
Little John in Robin Hood back in the 60s. As a matter of fact, all of these were done in the 60s. So you have Little John in Robin Hood. Then you had Thomas O'Malley in Aristocats. And then you had this character, which appeared in The Jungle Book.
Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessities are Mother Nature's recipes that bring the bare necessities of life. Wherever I wander, wherever I roam, I couldn't be found off my big home. The bees are buzzing in the tree to make some honey just for me. When you look under the rocks and plants and take a glance at the fancy ants, then maybe try a few. The bare necessities of life will come to you. They'll come to you. Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessities. That's why a bear can rest at ease with just the bare necessities of life. Now when you pick a pawpaw or a prickly pear, and you prick a raw paw, well next time beware. Don't pick the prickly pear by the paw. When you pick a pear, try to use the claw. But you don't need to use the claw when you pick a pear of the big pawpaw. Have I given you a clue? The bare necessities of life will come to you. They'll come to you. So just try and relax, yeah, cool it, fall apart in my backyard. 'Cause let me tell you something, little britches, if you act like that bee acts, you're working too hard. And don't spend your time looking around for something you want that can't be found. When you find out you can live without it and go along not thinking about it, I'll tell you something true. The bare necessities of life will come to you. Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessities. That's why a bear can rest at ease with just the bare necessities of life. Yeah, with just the bare necessities of life.
Yeah, man.
But in fact, Phil Harris has been around much more than that. He started off as an orchestra leader, and that's sort of a slang term, or it's sort of a shorthand. He wasn't like an orchestra leader, but people called big bands orchestras. It was a classier way of saying a big band, which is very much like a band. And that's not to denigrate it, that's just what it was. And he was the conductor, but he also had a little bit of success being a novelty song maker. And this one coming up is one that he had a little bit of success with. It's one of his first successes. He's his own grandpa.
I met a guy today I knew years ago when he was 23. And he was married to a widow who was as pretty as could be. Now this widow had a grown-up daughter who had beautiful hair of red. And this guy's father fell in love with her and soon the two were wed. Now this made the guy's dad his son-in-law and changed his very life. For his daughter was his mother, 'cause she was his father's wife. Now to complicate the matter, even though it brought him joy, he soon became the father of a bouncing baby boy. Now his little baby then became a brother-in-law to his dad, and so became his uncle, and though that made him very sad, for if the baby was his uncle, then that also made him brother of the widow's grown-up daughter, who of course was his stepmother.
He's his own grandpa.
Now you're catching on.
He's his own grandpa.
Well, naturally, it sounds funny, I know, but really it's so.
He's his own grandpa.
Well, wait a minute, get a load of this. Now, his father's wife then had a son who kept him on the run. So he became his grandchild, for he was his daughter's son. His wife is now his mother's mother, and of course that makes him blue, because although she's his wife, she's his grandmother, too.
He's his own grandpa.
Fun in the living room.
He's his own grandpa.
Absolutely. It sounds funny, I know, but really it's so.
He's his own grandpa.
Yeah, but look, get the payoff. Now, if his wife is his grandmother, then he is her grandchild. And every time the guy thinks of it, it nearly drives him wild. For now he has become the strangest case you ever saw. As husband of his grandmother, he's his own grandpa.
He's his own grandpa.
And loving every minute.
He's his own grandpa.
Oh, tell me more. It sounds funny, I know. But really, it's so.
He's his own grandpa. He's his own grandpa.
Now, He's His Own Grandpa actually has been around in different iterations, so it wasn't that he wrote it, but he definitely gave it a bit of swing, especially in his vocal delivery with a snappy patter. You can almost see that Meredith Willson could have written the show The Music Man around him. And as a matter of fact, there is a legend out there that says he knew Meredith Willson, and that the part was kind of his if he wanted it, and he refused it, and it ended up being a regret for the end of his life that he didn't actually go to Broadway and be a part of the Music Man. But having heard He's His Own Grandpa, you get an inkling that he really could have done some of those parts. Now, having said that, if you need a real clincher, here's a track that will help cement that belief.
Bill Jackson was a poor old dub who joined a Docktown poker club, but cursed the day he told him he would join. His money used to go like it had wings. If he held queens, someone had kings, and each night he would contribute all his coin. Then he said, I'm gonna play him tight tonight. He said, there'd be no bobtail flushes make me bite, cause when I gets in there, my hands will be a peach. Well, he played him tight, but lost his pile, and Bill got peevish after a while, so he rose, looked all around, and made this speech. He said, y'all see this brand new razor? I had it sharpened just today. Now I'm coming in there with my rules that you must follow when you play. Now keep your big bony hands on the table while you're dealing, please. And don't be slipping them aces down there in between your knees. And don't be making all them funny signs like you're trying to tip off your hand, just talking American, boy, American, so's I can understand. And don't be dealing off the bottom because, ooh, that's rough. Take five, five, then stop, that's enough. Now when you bet, put up the chips, because I don't like it when you shy. Then if you get busted, go on out and get something. I'm gonna be here by and by. Pass them cards for me to shuffle every time before you deals. Then if anything's wrong, I must see. Cause I mean, you always ain't no luck. Keep playing that game according to Mr. Hawley. You gonna play this game according to me. Sitting right there in that there clan, they chanced to be a one-eyed man, and Bill kept on watching him out of the corner of his eye. Cause old one eye would deal, and then would cost that Bill another five or ten. Bill got up again, looked all around him with a sigh. He said, Lord, this is an awful shame. He said, there's someone cheating in this here game. He said, of course, it ain't no do for me to name the guy. So I'll refrain from mentioning the party's name. If I catch him cheating just once again, I'm gonna take my fist and close out of the eye. Now, do you see this brand new razor? I had it sharpened just the day. I'm coming in there with my own rules that you must follow when you play. Egghead, keep your hands up there while you're giving them out, please. Stop putting them wildies down there between your knees. Stop making all them funny signs like you're trying to tip off your hand. Keep talking in American, big A-A-A. That's what I can understand. And don't be getting them off the bottom, because I keep trying to tell you it's rough.
This is the Army game. Five, five, halt, that's enough. Now, when you bet, let me see the reds and blues, because I don't like it when you shy. Then if you run out of gas, go get pumped up. I'm going to be here by and by. Pass them pasteboards for me to shovel every time before you deal. Let me riffle. Anything wrong, I want to see. I mean, you always ain't gonna keep playing the game now, according to that Mr. Harley. You all gonna play this game according to me. Henry, if you break the seal on that new deck of bicycles, we'll go on from here. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One of Phil Harris's most famous novelty tracks is the one that we're coming up with right now. And this also has been done by many different people, but I think that most people, if they have heard this before, they recognize the Phil Harris version. And again, it's got that snappy hipster sort of lingo. He's got the style, he's got the attitude right, and it's a very interesting track. Especially in these late times where people are rejecting cigarettes and those who are still smoking are using vapor sticks now, things like that, e-smokes. It can be very strange to hear a song which still endorses even the idea of smoking, but here it is. This is Phil Harris, way back when, doing the song Smoke, Smoke, Smoke.
Now I'm a fellow with a heart of gold and the ways of a gentleman, I've been told, the kind of a guy that wouldn't even harm a flea. But if me and a certain character met that guy that invented the cigarette, I'd murder that son of a gun in the first degree. Now, not cause I don't smoke myself and I don't reckon they'll harm your health. I've smoked all my life and ain't dead yet. But nicotine slaves are all the same. At a petting party or a poker game, everything must stop while they smoke that cigarette. Smoke, smoke, smoke that cigarette. Puff, 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 and if you smoke yourself to death, tell St. Peter at the Golden Gate that you hate to make him wait, but you've just got to have another cigarette.
Smoke, smoke, smoke. Puff, puff, puff.
In a game of chance the other night, old Dame Fortune was doing me right. The kings and queens just kept on coming round.
Coming around.
I played him hard and I played him high, but my bluff didn't work on a certain guy. He kept on raising and laying that money down.
Laying it down.
He'd raise me and I'd raise him. I sweated blood, got a sink or swim. He finally called and didn't raise the bet. I said, ace is full, pal, how about you? He said, I'll tell you in a minute or two. Right now I've got to have a cigarette.
He's got to smoke, smoke, smoke that cigarette. Puff, 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 and if you smoke yourself to death,
tell St. Peter at the Golden Gate that you hate to make him wait, but you've just got to have another cigarette.
Smoke, smoke, smoke. Puff, puff, puff.
The other night I had a date with the cutest little gal in 48 states, a hybrid uptown fancy little dame. She said she loved me and it seemed to me that things were about like they ought to be, so hand in hand we strolled down Lover's Lane. She was oh so far from a cake of ice, our smooching party was going nice, so help me hand, I think I'd been there yet.
I'd have been there yet.
But I give her a kiss and a little squeeze and she said, Phil, excuse me please, but I've got to have another cigarette.
Another cigarette.
Smoke, smoke, smoke that cigarette. Puff, 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 and if you smoke yourself to death, tell St. Peter at the Golden Gate that you hate to make him wait, but you've just got to have another cigarette.
Smoke, smoke, smoke.
Oh, St. Peter, I sure hate to keep you holding that gate open, but I just got to have another drag over this cigarette. This pretty thing. Thank you, Peter. Thank you.
As stated before, Phil Harris did a lot of different kinds of songs, even though he was known for the novelty songs. He also did some standards, one of which is St. James Infirmary, which I think every jazz orchestra, big band orchestra, has had a run at in one form or another. He's no different. So let's play that one right now. This is Phil Harris and orchestra with St. James Infirmary.
When will I ever stop moaning? When will I ever smile? My baby went and left me. She'll be gone a long, long while. I feel so blue and heartbroken. What am I living for? My baby went and left me, never to come back no more. So I went down to that St. James Infirmary. I heard my baby groan. I felt so brokenhearted. Baby used to be my own. I tried to keep from crying. My heart felt just like lead. She was all I had to live for. I wish that it was me instead. St. James Infirmary. All was still as night. My gal stretched out on a cold white table. So cold, so pale, so white. Though she treated me mean and low down, somehow I didn't care. My soul is sick and weary. I hope we meet again up there.
Let her go, let her go. God bless her, wherever she may be.
She could look this wide world over, but she'll never find a sweet man like me. When I die, I want you to dress me in straight lace shoes, a box back coat with a Stetson hat. Put a $20 gold piece on my watch chain, so the boys will know I died standing pat. I'll play these.
So, why is this the legend of Wonga? Well, when I was doing the research on this, you start, as you do, on Wikipedia, and it cited Harris's name as being Wonga Philip Harris. Now, I'm not so naive as to believe that people aren't messing around with Wikipedia pages. At first, I thought, oh, well, someone's gotten to this page and messed it up. Then I had to think about it. Why would they mess up Phil Harris's page? You got so many people right now who are involved with the internet. Why go after Phil Harris? What's the point? Wouldn't they rather go after Kanye West? Call him Wonga West. The fact is, his name actually was Wonga Philip Harris. And I found that out later by researching, looking around, and I found his obituary. Turns out that Wonga is a Cherokee name, and his parents apparently had some reason to have affinity for the Cherokee Nation, and they decided to call their child Wonga, which didn't work out when he decided to be a band leader, of course, so he went by his middle name, Philip. But yeah, the legend of Wonga, as it were, is the legend of Phil Harris. Go figure. So, let's get back into this. One of his other big novelty tracks is one called The Thing. And this is probably one of his most cleverest pieces, simply because most of it is left to your imagination. The backstory is that someone finds a box on the beach, and it's got something in there, something amazing. But we don't know what it is. And certainly whenever he shows anyone else what this thing is, they run in fright, they're afraid, they're scared, they say, get it out of here. They said, why would you ever bring such a thing to us? You never know what the thing is. Well, except for a song by Phil Harris, which is called The Thing.
While I was walking down the beach one bright and sunny day, I saw a great big wooden box a-floating in the bay. I pulled it in and opened it up, and much to my surprise, ooh, I discovered a right before my eyes. Ooh, I discovered a right before my eyes. I picked it up and ran to town as happy as a king. I took it to a guy I knew who'd buy most anything. But this is what he hollered at me as I walked in his shop. Ooh, get out of here with that before I call a cop. Ooh, get out of here with that before I call a cop. I turned around and got right out of running for my life. And then I took it home with me to give it to my wife. But this is what she hollered at me as I walked in the door. Oh, get out of here with that, and don't come back no more. Oh, get out of here with that, and don't come back no more. I wandered all around the town until I chanced to meet a hobo who was looking for a handout on the street. He said he'd take most any old thing, he was a desperate man. But when I showed him the, he turned around and ran. Oh, when I showed him the, he turned around and ran. I wandered on for many years, a victim of my fate, until one day I came upon St. Peter at the gate. And when I tried to take it inside, he told me where to go. Get out of here with that, and take it down below. Oh, get out of here with that, and take it down below. The moral of the story is, if you're out on the beach, and you should see a great big box and it's within your reach, don't ever stop and open it up. That's my advice to you, 'cause you'll never get rid of the, no matter what you do. Oh, you'll never get rid of the, no matter what you do.
So that eventually leads us to the Disney years. We already played The Bare Necessities, which of course is his most famous track. But as I said before, he was also in Robin Hood, where he played Little John. And while he was in that, he did the song The Phony King of England. And he was also in the movie The Aristocats, where he did Thomas O'Malley. So let's jump back into it. Here is Thomas O'Malley Cat, which was voiced by Phil Harris.
I like the chicharoni like they make at home, or a healthy fish with a big backbone. I'm Abraham DeLacy, Giuseppe Casey, Thomas O'Malley, O'Malley the alley cat. I've got that wanderlust, gotta walk the scene, gotta kick up highway dust, feel the grass that's green, gotta strut them city streets, showing off my E-clad, yeah, telling my friends of the social elite, or some cute cat I happen to meet, that I'm Abraham DeLacy, Giuseppe Casey, Thomas O'Malley, O'Malley the alley cat. I'm king of the highway, prince of the boulevard, duke of the avant-garde. The world is my backyard. So if you're going my way,
That's the road you want to seek. Calcutta to Rome, or home sweet home in Paris. Monofiki you all. I only got myself and this big old world, but I sip that cup of life with my fingers curled. I don't worry what road to take, I don't have to think of that. Whatever I take is the road I make, it's the road of life, make no mistake, for me. De Lacy, Giuseppe Casey, Thomas O'Malley, O'Malley the alley cat. That's right, and I'm very proud of that. Yeah.
Okay, so why should anybody care about Phil Harris? Why should anybody care about any of these voice talents that did cartoon voices back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s? What's the point? I think it is important in one way or another to remember them because they made a profound contribution to not just pop culture, but culture in general. And many of them had careers outside of just doing voices in these cartoons that we remember. And we want to say that, well, Disney's got that covered because nobody is going to forget them because they did vocals in a Disney movie, but that's not necessarily the case. For while everybody who has children of a certain age has at least one or two of these movies in their collection or on their Netflix line or however they receive their movies, Disney has this campaign going where they're actively trying to remake all of their animated movies into live-action movies. They could actually see in the future the possibility that audiences will not recognize The Jungle Book as being first the Rudyard Kipling book or the different variations that have been adapted over the years, including one that came from the renowned animator Chuck Jones, and not even the Disney cartoon. One could actually see that with Disney doing this, people will remember the live-action one, which is about to come out in a couple weeks, well and above the cartoon. And they're well within their right to do that. This is not a case of being blindly nostalgic, saying, oh, it must always be the cartoon. But at the same time, those who contributed their work and their efforts to these cartoons should in some way be remembered. And I think it is important, and it's only right, that we remember some of these people who did this work.
Oh, the world will sing of an English king 1,000 years from now, and not because he passed some laws or had that lofty brow. While Bonnie Good King Richard leads the great crusade he's on, we'll all have to slave away for that good-for-nothing John. Incredible as he is inept, whenever the history books are kept, they'll call him the phony King of England.
Apart from the phony King of England.
Tycoon's rather like a puppet on a string, and he throws an angry tantrum if he cannot have his way, and then he calls for mom while he's sucking his thumb. You see, he doesn't want to play. Too late to be known as John the First, he's sure to be known as John the Worst. A pox on that phony King of England. Lay that country on me, babe.
Ooh!
us to pieces and he robs us of our bread. King Richard's crown keeps slipping down around that pointed head. Ah, but while there is a merry man in Robin's wily pack, we'll find a way to make him pay and steal our money back. A minute before he knows we're there, old Rob will snatch his underwear. The breezy and uneasy king of England, the snivering, groveling, meanly wheedling, blabbering, jabbering, gibbering, jabbering, blundering, plotting, wheeling, dealing.
Fuzzy Turkey Sandwich has been a production of Introverse Media for PopDose.com. We would appreciate if you subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and tell your friends all about Fuzzy Turkey Sandwich. We appreciate your support and thank you. The end.